the following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 9, text number 12. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari. Recorded on October 29th, 2012, in Riga, Latvia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Namo
Moghasya moga karmano moga jnana vichetasa rakshasim asarim chaiva prakritim mohinim shrita Mogasha moga karmano Mogha jnana vichetasa Rakshasim asarim chaiva Prakritim mohinim shrita Translation and Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Those who are thus bewildered are attracted by demonic and atheistic views. In that deluded condition, their hopes for liberation, their fruitive activities, and their culture of knowledge are all defeated. Purport. There are many devotees who assume themselves to be in Krishna consciousness and devotional service, but at heart do not accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, as the absolute truth. For them, the fruit of devotional service, going back to Godhead, will never be tasted. Similarly, those who are engaged in fruitive pious activities and who are ultimately hoping to be liberated from this material entanglement will never be successful either, because they deride the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. In other words, persons who mock Krishna are to be understood to be demoniac or atheistic, as described in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Such demonic miscreants never surrender to Krishna. Therefore, their mental speculations to arrive at the absolute truth bring them to the false conclusion that the ordinary living entity and Krishna are one and the same. With such a false conviction, they think that the body of any human being is now simply covered by material nature, and that as soon as one is liberated from this material body, there is no difference between God and himself. This attempt to become one with Krishna will be baffled because of delusion. Such atheistic and demoniac cultivation of spiritual knowledge is always futile. That is the indication of this verse. For such persons, cultivation of the knowledge in the Vedic literatures like Vedanta Sutra and the Upanishads is always baffled. It is a great offense to consider Krishna the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be an ordinary man. Those who do so are certainly deluded because they cannot understand the eternal form of Krishna. The Brihad Vishnu Smriti clearly states, Yo veti bhautikam deham Krishnasya paramatmanaha sarasavasmad bahiskarya Shautasmarta vidannataha mukam tasyo valokyapi sachedam snanam acharet. When it considers the body of Krishna to be material, should be driven out from all rituals and activities of the Shruti and the Smriti. And if by chance one sees his face, One should once take bath in the Ganges to rid himself of infection. People jeer at Krishna because they are envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Their destiny is certainly to take birth after birth in this species of atheistic and demoniac life. Perpetually, their real knowledge will remain under delusion, and gradually they will regress to the darkest region of creation.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Bhadijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivishakan Vitam Shah Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashchat Yadeshatarine.
You know, pretty heavy not to be Krishna conscious. If you're not Krishna conscious, you don't get liberated, your fruit activities are a failure, and your culture of knowledge is a failure. Three strikes. It's like in American baseball, three strikes and you're out. three strikes. Liberation is finished, spiritual activity is finished, culture of knowledge finished. But still they go on thinking that they can be happy, you see, with their atheism. They say that God is a delusion. But that's ridiculous. Because God means the origin. To say there is no God, that means to say there's no origin for our existence. That's not scientific. Science means observation and experiment. If you want to propose that the universe came out of absolutely nothing, as Dr. Stephen Hawking so proudly declares, then where is the experiment to prove it? I tried it the other day in Kuala Lumpur. We made an experiment. We took a stove in an empty pot and we tried to get some popcorn to come out of it, you know, pop, 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 pop. And no popcorn came out of that empty pot. We didn't even try to get the whole universe out of the pot. We just tried to get a little popcorn out of the pot. So from this scientific experiment, we could conclude that things don't come out of nothing. Everywhere we see that something has come from something which came from something. That is the law of nature. Things come from things. There is no scientific experiment to show that something comes out of nothing. It's never been done. But there have been millions and billions of scientific experiments to prove that that things come out of things.
Bet ir miljoniem un miljardiem zinātnisku eksperimentu, kas pierāda, ka lietas rodas no lietām.
So if you want to have a scientific theory which has validity, you have to back it up with experimental data.
Ja jūs vēlaties nākt klajā kādu zinātnisku teoriju, kas ir vērā ņemama, tad jums ir jāveic eksperiments, kuram ir kādi rezultāti.
There is no data to back up that you get something out of nothing.
Tādu datu par to, ka jūs varat kaut ko būt no nekā nav.
All the data is just the opposite.
Un visi dati pierāda pretējo.
You get something from something.
Jūs gūstat kaut ko no kaut kā.
Therefore, there has to be an original something.
Un tāpēc ir jābūt sākotnējam kaut kam.
And that is not a delusion.
Un tie nav maldi.
To say there is no original something, that is a delusion.
Teikt, ka nav sākotnējā kaut kā, tie ir maldi.
So, we don't have to get hung up on the word God.
Mēs pat nevaram neturēties pie vārda Dievs.
Which has been so badly abused by the so-called religionists.
Kas ir tik eksploatēts nepareizi, daudz eksploatēts nepareizi no tā sauktiem religionistiem.
We can call that something else. We can call it the origin of all existence.
Mēs to varam saukt kaut kā savādāk. Sauksim to par visa esošā pirmsākuma.
The principle has to be understood.
Bet princips ir jāsaprot.
That there is an origin for everything.
Ka ir, visam ir pirmavots.
It's not a delusion to say there is an original source for everything. And then the next step is to understand, okay, what's then the nature of that original source? What is the nature of that original source? Just like, there are so many people here in this room.
Piemēram, šajā telpā ir daudz cilvēku.
I'm a person, you're a person.
Es esmu persona, jūs esat persona.
So, just like from a gold mine, we get so many gold nuggets.
Kā piemēram, no zelta raktuvēm, mēs iegūstam tik daudz zelta tos atradnes, no tīraņus.
Because the mine possesses gold, gold can be extracted from the mine.
Tāpēc tā iemesla dēļ, ka zelta raktuvē ir šis zelts, tikai tāpēc šo zeltu no kuriens var dabūt ārā.
So many persons are coming from that original source, that existential mine.
Un tad tik daudz personības var iznākt ārā, var nākt ārā no šī sākotnējā pirmavota.
Therefore, that existential mine must possess personality.
Un tātad šīs te eksistences raktuvis, sauksim tā viņas, tātad tām ir jāpiemīt personalitāte, personībai.
Otherwise, it cannot produce personality.
Citādi, tā nevarētu radīt personības.
So now we have understood logically, philosophically, and scientifically.
Tagad mēs loģiski un filozofiski un zinām.
There is a person who is the source of all existence.
Tā ir personība, persona, kas ir
Without even touching scripture, we have understood it. Scripture then tells you how to actually meet him. Scripture is the road map. Which tells you the route that you can take to personally meet that Supreme Person.
Un kas skaidri pasaka, kāds ceļš jums ir jāiet, lai satiktu šo personību.
So how can you test the validity of the scripture?
Un kā jūs varat pārbaudīt svēto rakstu ticamību?
How do you test the validity of your roadmap?
Bet kādā veidā jūs pārbaudat kartes ticamību?
You follow the roadmap.
Jūs sekojat kartē.
And if it gets you to the place it said it would get you, you know it's a valid roadmap.
Un ja karte noved jūs tajā vietā, kura tā soli jūs novest, tad jūs zinat, ka tā ir ticama.
So by following the scripture, which is a roadmap, which takes you personally to God.
un sakojot rakstiem, kas ir ceļa karte, kas jūs aizved tieši pie Dieva.
You will know the scripture is valid when you personally meet God.
Jūs zināsiet, ka raksti ir ticami, kad tad, kad jūs personiski satiksiet Dievu.
So, that is the Vedic literatures. They tell you precisely how to get to the supreme destination. Other scriptures give the idea, oh, there is a spiritual world. But precisely how to go to the topmost planet of the spiritual world, that they don't give any information.
Bet tie nesatur informāciju par to, kā nokļūt uz garīgās pasaules visaugstāko planētu.
The Vedic literatures give specific information how to go to the topmost planet of the spiritual world.
Vedu raksti dod specifisku, precīzu informāciju par to, kā nokļūt uz garīgās pasaules augstāko planētu.
How to identify and come in personal contact with that supreme person.
Un kādā veidā identificēt un nonākt personiskā kontaktā ar šo visaugstāko personu.
So, if one wants to meet that supreme person,
un ja kāds vēlas satikt šo augstāko personu,
you simply have to follow the Vedic scriptures, that's all you have to do.
Tad vienīgais, kas ir jādara, ir jāseko Vedic rakstiem.
And then you can meet that supreme person.
Un tad jūs satiksiet šo augstāko personu.
Face to face, eye to eye.
Acis pret acis.
Prabhupada told me. He said, if you will simply engage in full 24 hours a day in Krishna's service with full sincerity, then you will personally meet God. So this process works. Prabhupada is a person who is in constant direct contact with the Supreme Lord.
Prabhupāda ir personība, kas ir nepārtraukti tiešā kontaktā ar jūsu augstāko personību.
And he is training us how we can come to the same position.
Un viņš māca mums, kā mēs varam sasniegt tādu pašu stāvokli.
Those who reject such teachings is what Prabhupāda is explaining, what Krishna is explaining.
Un tie, kas norēd šīs zināšanas, šīs mācības, ko izskaidro Prabhupāda, ko izskaidro Krishna,
they remain deluded. In spite of all their technological advancement, their dreamliners and their iPhones and their internet and all their technological advances, they're going out of the animal kingdom in their next life. So what is the great benefit of all this technological progress? What's the advantage of building a dreamliner if in your next lifetime you'll be a mosquito?
What is a dreamliner?
These the new high-tech airplane from the what's that company called?
Okay.
In Europe, that company?
Qantas.
Huh? No. There's a manufacturer in Europe.
Okay.
There's Boeing in the U.S. The Boeing, and then there's.
Kādi jēga no šiem jaunām te bija konkrēti, piemēram, lidaparāta izmantošanas, ja nākamajā dzīvē tu kļūsti par rodu.
They're making all these double-decker airplanes now.
Un tie tad ir lidmašīnas, kas ir divstāvīgās lidmašīnas.
With all kinds of facilities. They even have one airplane, you can take a shower on the airplane now. Yes, one of the Middle Eastern airlines, you can take a shower on the airplane. So what is the advantage of all this technological advancement? He's just going to become a worm or a bug in your next lifetime. Better to reconnect yourself with God by chanting Hare Krishna mantra, by bowing down to the Lord. Man manama mamad bhakto majanji mang namaskaru. Mamme vaishashi yugvai vang atmanang matparayanaha. Engage your mind always in thinking of me.
Iesaisti savu prātu, vienmēr domās par mani.
Become my devotee. Worship me. Offer your obeisances unto me. In this way, by becoming fully absorbed in me, certainly you will come to me. It's not a difficult process. You just have to do it. How do you make a 1,000-mile journey? How do you start a 1,000-mile journey? One step. And then another step. So in the same way, the ultimate journey is back to home, back to Godhead. How do you begin? Take one step. What's the first step? Chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare. It's that easy to go back to Godhead. You've already made one step. Now don't stop walking. Take another step. Take another step. Keep walking. Don't stop. If you'll keep taking the steps, chanting every day, chanting Hare Krishna, taking prasad, hearing about Krishna, that day will come when you will enter Goloka and you will see Krishna personally face to face. Do you think this is hype? This is not hype. This is a fact. If you follow this process, you will directly see God face to face. You simply have to chant and take prasad. That's all you have to do. Keep chanting and keep taking prasadam. And you're going to bliss out every day on the ultimate journey back to your original identity. So, now I can ask if there are any questions.
Jautājums ir, vai kā tad saprast Bhakti Thakura vārdus, kad viņš teica, ka viņš vēlas piedzimt Vaishnava ģimenē par skudru vai kaut ko tādas, ne?
Then how to understand the words of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who prayed that he would like to be reborn as the family of Vaishnava and to be an aunt or something like that in the family of Vaishnava.
He is describing the great fortune of Vaishnava Sangha. It is so powerful that even your little aunt in the house of Vaishnava, you can achieve all perfection. You understand? Yeah. Next question. You. Yeah.
Скажите, дорогой Гурудев, подскажите, пожалуйста, почему вот когда удается как-то проповедовать или как-то с философией что-то упоминать, ссылаясь на святые писания, то люди абсолютно не воспринимают авторитет святых писаний в этом веке. Ну, по крайней мере, в моей жизни так получилось, что почему-то, когда говоришь, так написано в священных писаниях, в каких священных писаниях? Вот в таком, в таком, в таком. Ну, что-то какие-то странные священные писания.
Jautājums ir, mana pieredze rāda, ka cilvēki absolūti neuztver svēto rakstu autoritāti, un kad es viņiem pieminu svētos, iedzinu svētos rakstus, tad viņi prasa, kas tie pat tādiem divajiem svētiem rakstiem. My experience is that people don't accept the authority of the scriptures, and when I mention that this or that statement comes from the scriptures, they ask, what is it? What does it mean? Or what are we are scriptures? Or
you can't use scripture, and you're preaching to skeptical people. You have to use logic.
Jums nevajag lietot, jūs nevarat lietot rakstus, runājot ar skeptiskiem cilvēkiem, lietojot loģiku.
Scriptural preaching is for devotees, not for non-devotees.
uz rakstiem balstīt sludināšana domāt baktām, nevis nebaktām.
For them, scriptures are like some stupid comic book. That's all. It has no value.
Viņiem raksti ir kā kāds muļķīgs komiks.
You have to learn to preach using logical arguments.
Jums ir jāmācās, kā sludināt, izmantojot logiku.
To the non-devotees. It's like I gave logical proof for God's existence with no scripture.
Tā kā es bez kādiem rakstiem minēju loģiskus argumentus Dieva eksistencē.
Where will you learn all these logical arguments?
Kur mēs varam mācīties šos loģiskus argumentus?
Prabhupāda's books, the scriptures are full of them. So that way you give them scripture without them knowing they're really getting scripture, you see. So many logical arguments for God's existence. Just like every machine has an operator. Show me a machine that can operate without an operator pushing the start button. There is no machine. So we can scientifically observe thousands and millions of machines that requires operators, you see?
Mēs varam zinātniski apskatīt simtiem un miljoniem mašīnu.
And we can make a scientific conclusion therefore that every machine requires an operator. And then we can observe this cosmos, the universe is a gigantic machine. Therefore it requires operator. This is not blind faith, this is scientific analysis. So that is God. He is the cosmic operator. There must be a cosmic operator. Whatever you call him, there must be a cosmic operator. So in this way, with logic, you must convince them. But the actual technique is you ask him, what is your philosophy? And then you cut their philosophy to shreds. There's nothing, you completely annihilate their philosophy. And then you can explain the science of God to them in a logical way. In this way, you can bring them to Krishna consciousness. But first you have to defeat their philosophy. Next question. Richard.
Дорогой Гурудев, скажите, пожалуйста, как узнать, что человек считает тело Кришны обычным, человеческим? Это увидеть в себе и в другом.
Дорогой Гурудев, как узнать, что человек считает Кришну как просто человека? Как ты ирозить себе и цитрус? Dear Gurudev, how I can know that one believes that Krishna or sees Krishna as an ordinary human being? How to recognize that?
How can one
How to recognize that one sees Krishna as an ordinary human being?
If you don't think he's God, then you're saying he was an ordinary human being.
I didn't hear.
If you don't see him as God, then you're seeing him as an ordinary human being.
Okay. Ja jūs neredzat viņu kā, ja jūs neredzat viņu kā Dievu, tad jūs viņu redzat kā vienkāršu cilvēku.
Some people don't even see as an ordinary human being. They just see he's a make-believe character from literature. He's not even a real person. Some people then.
Daudz cilvēku vispār neuzskata viņu par reālu personu. Viņi uzskata, ka tas ir kāds izdomāts tēls.
Mahatma Gandhi said there was no person Krishna who ever existed.
Mahatma Gandhi teica, ka nav tāds personības Krishna, kas jebkad būtu eksistējusi.
He doesn't even see him as an ordinary person, he sees him as a myth.
Viņš pat neredzēja viņu kā parastu cilvēku, viņš uzskatīja, ka tas ir mīts.
So, if they don't see him as God, that means they're seeing him as an ordinary person or as a mythological person.
Tātad, ja viņi neredz viņu, ka neuzver viņu kā Dievu, tad viņi uztver viņu kā vai neparastu cilvēku vai mitoloģisku personību. Tēlu.
Does that answer your question?
Tas atbild uz jūsu jautājumu.
Richard, does that answer your question?
Komentārī tam, некоторые считают себя преданными, как бы, и считая себя преданными, они думают, что они преданно служат.
Jā, tad pirmais teikums, daudz bhakti uzskatās, ka apzinās Krišna un kalpo viņam. The first sentence of the purport, could you make comments on that?
The first sentence of the purport?
Yeah. How to recognize?
There are many devotees who assume themselves to be Krishna conscious, devotional service, but not accept the Supreme Personality of God as the Absolute Truth.
How to recognize that tendency in myself and in others? Mm.
Yeah, that's an interesting statement. I also was going, wow, that's a pretty heavy thing that Prabhupada says here.
Interesting apgalvojums un diezgan smags tāds apgalvojums, ko Prabhupada šeit saka.
So what does it mean to think that I'm Krishna conscious but not actually accept Krishna as the Supreme? What does that mean?
Nozīmē, ka uzskatīt, ka es esmu Krishnas apziņā, bet sirdī neatzīt Dieva augstāko personību Krishna par absolūto patiesību. Ko tas nozīmē?
The answer is very simple.
Ļoti, ļoti vienkārši.
Someone who says, I'm a devotee, but yet they're not surrendered. They're not actually surrendered to Krishna. That's who we're talking about here.
Prabhupāda runā par tiem, kas saka, ka es esmu bhakta, bet patiesībā nav sevi uzticējis Krishnam.
And devotee means someone who is prepared to do whatever Krishna says.
Bhakta ir tas, kurš ir gatavs darīt jebko, ko Krishna saka.
You see? Many people, the neophyte devotees, you see, the many neophyte devotees, they're not fully ready. They understand that Krishna is the supreme, but they're not really ready to surrender to him.
Piemēram, ir neofīti, viņi saprot, ka Krishna ir augstākais, bet viņi nav gatavi sevi uzticēt viņam.
That means they're not fully convinced yet that Krishna is actually the supreme.
Un tas nozīmē, ka viņi vēl nav pilnībā pārliecināti, ka Krishna ir augstākais.
They're thinking, well, maybe he's the supreme.
Domā, varbūt viņš ir augstākais.
But they're not convinced beyond any shadow of a doubt that Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead.
Bet viņi nav pārliecināti tā, ka nav pat nekādas šaubas palicis.
So they're not really Krishna conscious yet.
Viņi vēl nav Krishnas apziņā pilnībā.
The one who is actually Krishna conscious, he fully surrendered himself to Krishna. That is Krishna consciousness.
Tas, kurš ir pilnībā Krishnas apziņā, ir pilnībā sevi uzticējis Krishna.
So how much does this statement apply to me and to you?
Kā šis apgalvojums attiecas uz mani un jums?
How much we have to see? Well, how much am I fully surrendered to Krishna?
Jāskatās, cik lielā mērā es sevi esmu uzticējis Krishna.
Krishna says I have to accept a spiritual master. So how much am I fully surrendered to the spiritual master?
Krishna saka, tev jāpieņem garīgais skolotājs, tad cik lielā mērā tu esi uzticējis savam garīgajam skolotājam.
Am I fully prepared to do whatever my spiritual master orders me to do?
Vai es esmu pilnībā gatavs darīt jebko, ko liek mans garīgais skolotājs?
Or am I prepared to argue with them if I don't like the instruction?
Vai es esmu gatavs strīdēties ar viņiem, ja man nepatīk viņa norādījumi?
So in this way we can analyze how much we actually accept Krishna as the Supreme. Is that clear now, Richard? Okay. Now here, I recognized him. Yeah, you recognized him.
Prabhupāda vienā komentārijā saka, ka Kanishta, kā arī viņš redz Krishna dievībā, varbūt guru, un uz pārējiem viņš dusmās. Un Prabhupāda saka, no šādas te prāta stāvokļa jācenšas ātrāk atbrīvoties, ar kuru varētu komentēt šo te Prabhupādas komentāru. Jā, tā ir, no jā, atbrīvoties ātrāk.
Could you make a comment on the statement of Srila Prabhupada who said that Kanishta Adhikari he might see Krishna?
He sees
Krishna in deities and maybe in his Gurudev, but he looks at other devotees in what way?
He's angry.
Yeah. He's angry at other devotees, and the devotees should get to as fast as possible get rid of such attitude. So, could you make any comments on that?
Yes, Jai. That's my comment. In other words, yes, we have to come off the Kanishta platform as soon as possible. Actually, the Kanishta doesn't even accept a guru yet. He's not been to that point. There was one, actually, the other day I was giving a lecture here. I saw a Kanishta in the audience. He wouldn't face the speaker. He just sat and stared at the deities. He wouldn't face the speaker. I even mentioned in the lecture how the Kanishta, they only want to see the deity, they don't want to hear from the devotees, and he still kept staring at the deities the whole time. It was really dramatic in the room. Everybody was facing the speaker, but there was one person sitting or facing the altar. He wouldn't take the speaker. He was showing, I respect the deities, but I don't really respect you like I do the deities, you know. So that's a classic Kanishta, you see. He respects the deities, but he won't respect the devotees. So Krishna says, "Ye me bhakta jana parta na me bhakta che janaha." If you're my devotee, O son of Prita, na me bhaktas. You're not my devotee if you're my devotee. Ye me bhakta jana parta na me bhakta che janaha mad bhaktanam che ye bhaktas. Teme bhakta tamamata. If you are the devotee of my devotee, then and only then are you my devotee. So if you want to become a devotee of Krishna, then you have to become a devotee of the devotee of Krishna. You have to have a guru. You have to find a devotee that you can devote yourself to. Otherwise, what is your position? Anatta. No master.
Bez
street dog. In India, we have seen very graphically two kinds of dogs. In Vrindavan, we have seen the street dogs. It's horrible. Their fur has fallen off. They have wounds all over their body. They're walking skeletons. They're full of fear. But then on Juhu Beach, we have seen the dogs walking with the rich millionaires on the beach. And they're big, stout, strong, jolly dogs. Walking with their masters, you see. So if a dog has a master, then he's in very good shape, you see. If he has no master, he's in a very perilous condition. So one who has a bona fide spiritual master, he's very solidly situated in the transcendental platform. And those who don't, aren't. Next question.
Hare Krishna. У меня такой вопрос. Что важнее для духовного прогресса? Хороший слушатель или же хороший лектор?
Kas ir svarīgāk garīgiem procesam? Labs klausītājs vai labs lektors? What is more important for the spiritual progress? Good lecturer or good hearer?
Good hearer. God gave you two ears and one mouth. So you should be twice as interested in hearing as you are in speaking. Unless one is a good hearer, they cannot speak nicely. Only those who hear very nicely can speak properly. Next question.
Следует из вышесказанного то, что источник философии пустоты есть ложное эго?
Vai no iepriekš teiktā mēs varam secināt, ka tukšuma filozofijas avots ir viltus ego. Can we conclude from what was said that the source of this philosophy of emptiness is our false ego?
Yes, the philosophy, that's a very good question. The one who proposes the philosophy of emptiness, that is coming from false ego. That's a bit.
Tas, kas sludina tukšuma filozofiju, tā ideja nāk no viltus ego.
They want to deny the existence of God. That is their due to false pride. That's a bit.
Viņi vēlas noliek Dieva eksistenci, un tas tik tāpēc, ka viņi viltus lepnību to liek darīt.
Just like Nietzsche, he said, God is dead. But then God can say, Nietzsche is dead. So who will win? Nietzsche or God? So God is living, Nietzsche is dead. Next question. Yeah.
Kāda ir indikātora, ka ietais ceļš ir pareizais?
Could you name some indications that the pathway is, we are going on the right pathway?
Yes, if you are becoming gradually free from your attraction for material sense gratification.
Ja jūs pakāpeniski atbrīvojaties no pieķeršanās maņu apmierināšanai,
then you're making progress.
Tas nozīmē, ka jūs progresējat.
Instead of seeing material things as something for your enjoyment, if you see them as something for Krishna's enjoyment, then you're making progress.
Jūs materiālas lietas redzat kā kaut ko, kas ir domāts nevis jūsu baudai, bet Krishna's baudai, tad jūs progresējat.
For example, if a man sees a woman and thinks, I think I can really enjoy her. He's in Maya. He thinks, this woman could be very much enjoyed by Krishna.
And
this way, he's becoming Krishna conscious. He sees that everything is for Krishna's enjoyment, not my enjoyment. Or same thing, money, power, any material thing that one might enjoy. If you see it's for Krishna's enjoyment, then you're making progress.
Tas attiecās uz jebkuru materiālu lietu, ko varētu baudīt. Nauda, vara, jūs to redzat, ka to var.
Just like one may see a computer game.
Piemēram, attiecībā uz datorspēli.
And think, wow, now I can really enjoy.
Oh, tagad gan es varētu izbaudīt.
You see, I got a computer, I got a really cool game here, I got a keyboard, I got a mouse, wow, joystick. I can really enjoy, you see.
Tagad man ir dators, man ir spēle, man ir klaviatūra, pēle, tagad es varēšu baudīt.
He's not Krishna conscious.
Viņš nav Krishna sapziņā.
He thinks, oh, computer game, wonderful, this is so many people attracted to computer games, if they can make wonderful computer games, for Krishna conscious computer games, then Krishna will be very, very happy if everybody is playing Krishna conscious computer games.
Bet, ja viņš domās, o, tik daudz cilvēkus piesaist datorspēles, un ja būtu tāds datorspēles, kas virzītu par prieku Krishnam, kas būtu ar mērķi tuvināt cilvēkus Krishnas apziņai,
So in this way, the more you see everything through Krishna's enjoyment, and not your enjoyment, that is a sign of progress. Otherwise, you're not going anywhere spiritually. If you find yourself still hankering to enjoy these material things that are around you, next question.
Dear Gurudev, how can we learn how to take pleasure in seeing others make advancement?
Others being?
Make advancement or progress.
Yes.
Jautājums, dārgais Gurudev, kā mēs varētu iemācīties gūt prieku no tā, ka citi progresē Krišnas apziņā?
By being a preacher. It's like you may distribute a book to somebody. They are completely caught up in the material nature. And then you follow up with them, you get their email address, you know, you keep in touch with them. And you find out they gave up marijuana, they gave up liquor, and they're chanting japa. Wow, you're becoming enlivened. They're advancing. And then they really went into it. They gave up illicit sex. And you go, wow, this is great. He gave up illicit sex even now. And then he says, I'd like to come and join the book distribution party. Wow. And that's even more ecstatic, isn't it? Just like, here's a good example. Bhakta Brian, one of my aspiring disciples. One day he was out on the boardwalk in Santa Monica doing book distribution. In his full Hare Krishna regalia, uniform. His tilak, his dhoti, his sikha flying in the wind, everything. And it was a crowded sidewalk, many people, And then he saw a bunch of people, bodyguards, with the suits on and a little bulge here under the jacket where they had a revolver, in the holster. He's saying, there's all these bodyguards, packing a gun. And he said, some big VIP must be coming down the sidewalk. He was looking through the people trying to figure out who's coming down the sidewalk, And all of a sudden, everybody parted, and Bill Clinton came out of the crowd and walked up to him. He came right up to the devotee, the former president of the U.S. He walks right up to Bhakta Brian, he shakes his hand and gives him a hug. And then Bhakta Brian is thinking, what should I do now? I just got hugged by Bill Clinton. So what's a book distributor to think, Well, give him a book. So he said, actually, he used to be an admirer of Bill Clinton when he was running for presidency and all the political speeches. Bhakta Brian used to be an admirer of Bill Clinton. So in his own language, he said, Bill, I love you, man. Can I give you this book? And Bill said, why, sure. And this time, all the media people there, the newspaper reporters, the cameras, they're all filming this whole thing. So Bill holds up the Bhagavad Gita, everybody's cheering, you know. The Karmis are cheering. Bill Clinton's holding up a Bhagavad Gita and everybody's cheering. You see? So then the limousine pulled up, you know, Bill's limousine pulled up, you know. It's time to get in the car and head out, you know. So he got back in the limo. But he got in and he held the Bhagavad Gita up and waved it, and everyone cheered again. And then as he drove off, he was holding the Bhagavad Gita. He didn't like lay it down somewhere. So do you think Bhakti Brian was feeling pretty good that day? He was floating on a cloud of euphoria, let me tell you. They got back to the temple and they thought, see, they're having a morning announcement after Mangalarti about the previous day's Sankirtan report. So he didn't tell a soul. Only his Sankirtan buddy knew. The two of them were out together. See, they were the only ones who knew. They kept it completely secret. Until the next morning in front of Rukmini Dwarkadish and all the assembled devotees, they made the announcement and the whole temple room erupted in transcendental ecstasy. So what was the bliss of Bhakti Brian? He was seeing how the former president of the United States, who is a very respected leader even today in the world, took a Gita and was very much appreciating Bhagavad Gita.
Kāda gan bija viņa svētlēm, Bhaktam Brainam, ka viņš redzēja, ka bijušais savienotās valstu prezidents, kam joprojām ir liela ietekme pasaules politikā, novērtē Bhagavad Gītu.
His happiness was to see how Bill Clinton had made spiritual advancement.
Un viņa prieks bija par to, kā Bills Clintons garīgi progresē.
And how he got to be an instrument for Bill Clinton's spiritual advancement.
Un kā viņš ir bijis instruments, lai palīdzētu Billam Clintonam garīgi progresēt.
Bill Clinton has a foundation. He has seminars where he brings world leaders from all over the planet to discuss about how to improve the quality of the planet.
Bill Clintonam ir fonds, kurš pulcē pasaules līderus un semināros, kurās viņi diskutē, kā uzlabot dzīvi pasaulē.
He's a very powerful, influential person.
Viņš ir ļoti ietekmīga personība.
So, in this way, by helping others to advance in Krishna consciousness, we can feel the greatest happiness.
Tādā veidā, palīdzot citiem progresēt Krišnas apziņā, jūs jutīsiet lielāko laimi.
Does that answer your question?
Es atbildu jūsu jautājumu.
Yes.
Okay. Next question. Yes.
Видим, что в духовном мире спутники Кришны в мужских телах, у них есть жены и женщины, тоже имеют, может быть, мужьев. И какие отношения между этими преданными в духовном мире? Потому что часто мы слышим, как дживы, какие могут быть отношения с Кришной, а какие отношения между преданными? Вот может быть конкретно даже вот супружеские отношения.
Jautājums ir, kā garīgajā pasaulē mēs zinām, tur ir arī ģimenes, un mēs zinām, esam dzirdējuši par bhakti attiecībām ar Krišnu, bet vai jūs varat pastāstīt, kādas ir attiecības, piemēram, starp baktām garīgajā pasaulē, piemēram, šīs ģimenes attiecības? Could you tell about relation? We have heard about relationships between in the spiritual world between devotees and Krishna. But we know that in the spiritual world there are families or couples and men and women. And do you know about the relationships, let's say, between these family relationships? Like,
yes, relationships. There are many such relationships in the spiritual world. The women are very, very beautiful. And the men are also very, very beautiful. And they are husband and wife even.
Viņi ir vīrs un sieva.
But they are not attracted to each other.
Bet viņus nesaista viens otrs.
They're simply attracted to Krishna.
Viņus saista vienīgi Krishna.
Everybody is simply totally mad after Krishna.
Un visi pilnīgi jūprātā pēc Krishnas.
What did Krishna do today?
Ko Krishna šodien dara?
What did Krishna say?
Ko Krishna teica?
What did Krishna, well, how did Krishna hold his head? How did he hold his hand?
Kā Krishna turēja savu galvu, kā viņš turēja savu roku?
Everybody's completely absorbed in Krishna.
Visi ir iegremdējušies pilnībā Krishna.
It's like even here we have household couples, you see.
Tā kā šeit mums piemēram ir ģimenes cilvēki.
They are not enamored by each other.
Viņi nesaist viens otrs.
They're simply enamored by Krishna.
Viņus saista vienīgi Krishna.
That all powerful.
Tas, kurš ir visvarenais.
All beautiful.
Visskaistākais.
All renounced.
Viss tas, kurš atsacījis.
All wealthy.
Visbagātākais.
All famous.
Slavenākais.
All knowing.
Viszinošākais.
All merciful.
Visžēlsirdīgākais.
Amazing person.
Apbrīnojama personība.
Who is standing on the bank of Kēshīgat.
Kurš stāv Kēshīgatas krastos.
On the full moon night of the Sharad season.
On pilnmēnes naktī.
Wearing a yellow silk dhoti.
Apdievis dzeltenu zīda dhoti.
He's placing his flute to his lips.
Viņš ir pielicis flautu pie savām lūpām.
Which are like newly blossomed twigs.
Kas ir kā nu pat uzplaucis zariņš.
His transcendental body shining very bright in the moonlight.
Viņa pārpasaulīgais ķermenis mirds ļoti spilgti.
Is amazingly bending in three places.
Un viņa ķermenis apbrīnojami lokās trijās vietās.
That transcendental flute player.
Šis pārpasaulīgais flautas spēlnams.
Who is hurting the cows.
Kurš gana govis.
Who is yielding all desire. Who is fulfilling all desires.
Kurš piepilda visas vēlmes.
Who is surrounded by millions of copper viksha trees.
Kuru ir apņem miljoniem vēlmju izpildīšanas kuru.
Who is always being served with great reverence and affection by hundreds and thousands of lakshmis or gopis.
Un kuram kalpo un kuru pielūdz.
Who is adept at playing on his flute.
Kurš ir meistars spēlēt flautu.
Whose transcendental body is tinged with the hue of blue clouds.
Kur pārpasaulīgais ķermenis ir iekrāsots zilu mākoņu krāsā.
And whose unique loveliness is charming millions and billions of cupids.
Un kura unikālā mīlestības spēja valdzina miljoniem kupidom.
So when you have somebody like that in your village, who cares about a beautiful woman? I mean, you know.
Jums ir tāda personība jūsu ciemā, kurš gan īpaši daudz domās par skaistu sievieti vai meiteni.
Or a good-looking husband, I mean.
Izskatīgu vīru.
Krishna is unbelievably attractive.
Krishna ir neticami valdzinoši piesaistoši uzmanību.
He is the cynosure of all eyes. You don't know the cynosure? The all eyes are always looking at him. They're amazing.
Visi acu skatieni ir vienmēr piekalti viņam.
So, you know, they're attracted. He's so attractive that everyone's completely captivated by his beauty. That's the reality.
Viņš ir tik pievilcīgs, ka visi ir pilnībā pārņemti ar viņa skaistumu.
The husbands and wives simply help each other to be more and more Krishna conscious. That's all.
Un vīri un sievas vienkārši palīdz viens otram ar vien vairāk pārņemties Krishna apziņā.
Their family life is Krishna consciousness.
Viņu ģimenes dzīve ir Krishna apziņa.
Okay.
Still, it sounds a little bit that they're kind of neglectful to each other. Even here, even as devotees, we feel some affection towards devotees, even we are kind of Krishna's bhaktas and we like Krishna. But anyway, everyone who is around us, even not related, maybe like family members, even connection to devotees. And you mentioned that only one who is my devotee is devotee, that Krishna accepts as devotee. Then
it sounds that kind of they are neglecting each other.
Why neglect? And the more you can facilitate your that someone's Krishna conscious, the more you're blessing them.
Kāpēc es tādu novārtā? Jo vairāk jūs nodrošinat iespējas kādam attīstīties Krišnas apziņā, jo vairāk tas izrāda tādu attiecības parādi jūs attieksim pret viņu.
Any other question?
Vēl jautājumi?
Yeah.
Махарадж, скажите, пожалуйста, а как душа попадает в этот мир, материальный мир? Я вот слышала просто два варианта. Первый это то, что она была уже в духовном мире и упала сюда, потому что она позавидовала Кришне. Второй вариант это те души, которые они еще не были в духовном мире, новые души, как бы.
Jautājums, es esmu dzirdējis divus veidus par to, kā dvēseli nokļūst materiālajā pasaulē. Viens ir, ka dvēseli ir bijusi garīgajā pasaulē un kritusi, un otrs veids, ka ir tāda jaunās dvēseles, kas vēl nav bijuši garīgajā pasaulē. Maharaj, could you explain the following? I have heard there are two versions of how the soul has gotten to this material world. One version is that the soul previously was in the spiritual world and fell down, and the other version is that kind of new souls that have never been to the spiritual world are here.
Yeah. Yes. This is this controversy is going around ISKCON. That's about.
Jā, šī pretruna ir ISKCONā dzirdama.
Prabhupada clearly states that we originated in the spiritual world in the pastimes of Krishna.
Ka mūsu sākotnējā būtība mēs esam garīgajā pasaulē Krišnas tajās laika kavēkļos spēlēs.
It's confirmed by Lord Chaitanya.
Un kungs Chaitanya to apstiprina.
In the Chaitanya Charitamrita there's a verse. Jivaras jivaras harupa hai krishnara nityadas. The constitutional position of the living entity is the eternal servant of Krishna.
Ka sākotnējā dzīvās būtnes daba ir, ka tā ir mūžīga Krišnas kalps.
So by our very constitutional nature we are devotees of Krishna.
Un savā pamat būtībā mēs esam Krišnas kalpi.
It's if one's nature is to be a devotee, that means in your original position was you were acting as a devotee, your original position.
Un tātad, ja jūsu sākotnējā daba ir būt Krišnas baktam, Krišnas kalpam, tad tas nozīmē, ka sākotnēji jūs esat arī darbojies kā Krišnas bakta.
It's confirmed by Srila Prabhupada again and again in his writings. The original natural energy of the living entity is he is the devotee of Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada atkal to atkārto, ka dzīvās būtnes sākotnējā enerģija, viņš ir Krishna's bhakta.
We are spiritual energy.
Mēs esam garīga enerģija.
But it's also described in that same verse that we also are called marginal energy. Tatasta shakti. Tatasta tata means border.
Tata nozīmē robeža.
Sta means situated.
Sta nozīmē atrodas.
So, in our consciousness, even though we are spiritual by nature, we also have a position where we can look either towards spirit or matter. We have an ability to look either way.
Lai gan mēs pēc savas dabas esam garīgi, mums ir šī piemiņa, šī iespēja skatīties kā uz garīgo, tā uz materiālo.
We have a state of consciousness that can go either towards matter or spirit. That's called marginal energy.
Mūsu apziņa, ja piemīt spēja virzīties kā uz garīgo, tā uz materiālo.
Our natural position is spiritual.
Mūsu dabiskais stāvoklis.
But we have a tatasta or borderline nature which allows us to be unnatural if we want to be unnatural.
Taču mūsu apziņa ir tāda, kas atļauj mums būt būt uz šīs robežas, un ja mēs vēlamies būt nedabīgā stāvoklī, tad tiek pieļauts, ka mēs varam būt šajā nedabīgajā stāvoklī.
Devotees have misinterpreted this concept of tatasta shakti as that we lived on they say there's a third world called the tatasta world, the tatasta realm.
Un Bhaktas nepareizi interpretē to, sakot, sakot, ka ir tā tatasta pasaule, trešā pasaule.
This is a philosophical discrepancy.
Un tas ir filozofisks discrepancy was
mistake.
Jā, trūkums.
Just like there's a border between Lithuania and Latvia.
Tas ir tā kā, ka ir robeža starp Latviju un Lietuvu.
There's two places you can live. You can live in Lithuania or Latvia. There's a border.
Jūs varat dzīvot divās vietās, Lietuvā vai Latvijā, un te ir robeža.
Is there a third region where you can live that's between the two countries? No, there is no third region there. There's two regions. So these devotees make the mistake of thinking there's a third region called the Tatasta region. They can't conceive how the living entity can fall from the pastimes of Krishna.
Viņi nevar aptvert, kā dzīvā būtne var krist no Krišnas spēlēm.
Therefore, they hypothesize the devotee originated in the Tatasta region and then fell from that into the material world.
Tāpēc viņi pauž viedokli, ka Bhakta ir radies šajā Tatasta reģionā un tad no turienes krītas materiālajā pasaulē.
But there's no dimensional space at the border. It's just where the two regions come against each other. There's no third region where you can live.
Bet tur nav nekādas telpas šai trešajai teritorijai, tikai divas teritorijas.
They say we started in the we originated in the Tatasta region, but there is no third region called the Tatasta region.
Tatasta reģionā, bet nav šāda trešā reģiona.
If you study the Vedic cosmology, there's the material world and the spiritual world. There's no third world in between the two worlds.
Studējiet vedisko kosmoloģiju, redzēsiet, ir garīgā pasaule, materiālā pasaule, nav trešā reģiona starp tām.
So the idea that there's a third world that we originated from, not the spiritual world, is an erroneous conception. It's a mistake, mistaken idea.
Un tā ideja, ka ir kāda trešā teritorija, ir, kas nav ne garīgā, ne materiālā pasaule, ir kļūda.
We have a borderline tendency.
Mums ir šī te robežas nosliece.
To be naturally situated as devotees.
Būt dabiskā stāvoklī kā bhaktā.
Or to be unnaturally situated as non-devotees.
Vai būt nedabiskā stāvoklī kā nebhaktā.
Originally we were naturally situated as devotees.
Sākotnēji mēs esam kā bhaktas.
And then we made the mistake of misusing our independence as we studied in the Bhagavatam class this morning.
Un tad mēs veicām kļūdu, kā mēs to nepareizi pievietojot savu neatkarību, kā mēs to šorīt studējām.
And we came to this material world. I had, there's more information on it that I've documented from Prabhupada's books. If you want, anyone who wants more information, just send me an email. I have the quotes from Prabhupada that I haven't memorized all the quotes, but I can give you a documented evidence from Prabhupada to confirm everything I've just stated. So we, to sum it up, we originated in the pastimes of Krishna, we fell to the pastimes of the material existence. Yes, sir. We are original, just like we have our svarup. Svarup means your original form. By becoming Krishna conscious, you regain your svarup, your original identity in Krishna's pastimes.
esot Krišnas apziņā, jūs atgūsiet savu svarūpu, to sākotnējo formu, kas jums ir.
If you didn't originate in Krishna's pastimes, then how you can have a svarūpa in Krishna's pastimes?
Krišnas spēlēs, jo ja jūs nebūtu, jums tur nebūtu bijis sākotnējā svarūpa, tagad kādam jūs to varētu atzūt?
It's simple logic.
Vienkārši logic.
Yes.
This is really very hard to conceive how we fell down from the from Krishna's pastimes.
Bet tas tiešām ir ļoti grūti to aptvert, kā mēs esam atteikušies un krituši no Krishna's spēlēm.
But it is very hard to conceive how we.
Yes, it's inconceivable.
Jā, tas ir neaptverami.
That's a fact, it is inconceivable.
Tas ir neaptverami.
We read about it this morning.
Mēs par to lasījām šorīt.
The Bhagavatam.
Bhagavatam.
Prabhupada explains there because Krishna is independent. He has unlimited independence.
Prabhupada izskaidro, Krishna ir neierobežot, neatkarīgs.
And because we are a part of him, therefore we have a portion of independence ourselves, you see.
Un tā kā mēs esam daļi no Krishnas, tad arī mums piemīt neliela neatkarība.
So independence means you can use it or you can abuse it.
Un neatkarība nozīmē, jūs to varat izmantot vai nepareizi izmantot.
You may say, but it's inconceivable that one could misuse his independence.
Bet jūs varat teikt, bet tas ir neaptveram, ka kāds var nepareizi izmantot savu neatkarību.
But independence means he must be able to misuse it.
Bet neatkarība nozīmē, ka ir jābūt iespēja to izmantot nepareizi.
Otherwise he has no independence.
Savādāk, tā nav neatkarība.
So it's actually not that difficult to understand. If you take the statements of Prabhupada as authoritative, that is simply misuse of independence. But if you don't accept Prabhupada's statements as authoritative, you try to get to it by mental speculation, you'll remain bewildered for millions of lifetimes.
Bet ja jūs nepieņemat Prabhupādas teikto kā autoritāti un sākat izdomāt paši savus spriedelējumus, tad jūs būsiet maldināti miljoniem dzīvi.
Just like the Gyanis.
Kā piemēram Gyanis.
As described in the Brahma Samhita. They are trying to find out the non-differentiated Brahman by process of the elimination of the mundane extending over thousands and millions of years.
So, viņi cenšas apgūt šo te Brahmanu, mēģinot atšķelt by eliminating.
They try to find out the non-differentiated Brahman.
Viņi cenšas atrast šo Brahmanu. Non-differentiated means that is
all one, homogeneous.
To vienīgo Brahmanu.
By the process of the elimination of the mundane.
Un to viņi mēģina izdarīt visu laiku atmetot laicīgo.
Extending over thousands and millions of years it takes.
Un to dara viņi tūkstošiem miljoniem gadu.
So if you try to, through mental speculation, understand how you could fall down, you can go on for millions of years and never figure it out.
Un ja jūs ar prātojumiem centīsieties saprast, kā jūs kritāt no garīgās pasaules, tas prasīs jums miljoniem dzīvi, un jūs to neveiksiet.
But if you will take the authority of Srila Prabhupada's words,
jūs pieņemsiet Srila Prabhupada's vārdu autoritāti,
that we misused our independence, then immediately it's understood.
Mēs nepareiz izmantojām savu neatkarību, tad tas uzreiz ir skaidrs.
Just like a little boy in the kitchen, you see.
Piemēram, maz bērns virtuvē.
Little Johnny.
Johnny's.
His parents told him, little Johnny.
Johnny.
The mother said, don't stick your hand in the fire, Johnny, it will burn.
Māte saka, nepauz roku uguni, tas apdedzināsies.
So little Johnny doesn't dare do it when his mother's around, you see, because she doesn't want to get chastised. But one day in the kitchen, the telephone rings.
On vien dienas,
and the mother goes out of the kitchen for a minute.
mama iziet ārā no virtuves.
Little Johnny sees his chance.
Johnny's redz savu iespēju.
Now he can taste the forbidden fruit.
Tagad viņš var nodrošot aizliegto augu.
He can stick his hand in that fire and see what it's like. It's so beautiful.
Un viņš tagad var iebāzt roku šajā brīnišķīgajā ugunī.
So he sticks his hand in there. Ah. He's crying and screaming. You see? He burned his hand.
You see?
Even though he was warned, he wanted to taste that forbidden fruit. Actually, it's described in the Bible. In the forbidden fruit. But the Christians don't know what is that forbidden fruit.
Bet kristieši nezin, kas tas ir par aizliegto.
And that forbidden fruit is that I am God.
Es esmu Dievs.
That is the forbidden fruit.
Tas ir aizliegtais augs.
So one wants to taste that fruit. I'm God. I'm God. I'm God. You see?
Tas, kurš ir pakašot savu augu, es esmu Dievs, es esmu Dievs.
Krishna will let him do them. And Brahma is ready. With self-deception. The fear of death. Anger after frustration. Etc. Etc. So any other questions? Okay.
Jautājums, vai dzīvās būtnes garīgai apziņai piemīt spēja paplašināties? I would like to know if that spiritual consciousness one has, does it has this ability to expand?
Yes.
Может, в этом загадка придумка Кришны?
Не понял.
Может, в этом загадка, говорю, придумка Кришны, чтобы мы упали?
Не понимаю, я не понимаю, загадка, придумка в чем?
Ну, все, что есть, придумал, ну, план, придумал Кришна, да?
Yeah.
Может, в этом загадка? Если душа имеет тенденцию к расширению своего сознания, да, то тогда она и таким опытом тоже...
Jautājums ir, ka varbūt ka tāds arī ir Krišnas plāns, ka ja jau apziņai piemīt tieksmes paplašināšanos, tad iespējams, ka ir dzīvē būtnei nepieciešama arī šāda pieredze. But could it be that probably that it is the part of the plan of Krishna that if that consciousness has tendency to get expanded, that a living being needs also such negative experience as well.
What kind of experience?
That experience in the material world.
Because you wanted to enjoy separately.
Tāpēc, ka jūs vēlaties baudīt atsevišķi.
Krishna is giving you the chance.
Krishna dod jums iespēju.
You want to enjoy false happiness? All right, go for it.
Ja jūs vēlaties izbaudīt nepatiesu laimi, lūdzu.
Krishna is giving you full facility to enjoy false happiness.
Krishna dod jums visas iespējas, lai jūs varētu izbaudīt nepatiesu laimi.
So you can get it over with and get it out of your system.
To see that
you can get it over with and get it out of your system.
Un jūs to varat pārvarēt un iziet ārā no šīs sistēmas.
Huh?
So idea is he gives that you can.
Yeah, you can. We read it in the purport this morning.
Yeah. Ar mērķi tādu, lai jūs izbaudat vai tas, ko jūs vēlaties, tiešām ir tas, ko jūs tas, ko jūs iegūstat, ir bija tiešām tas, ko jūs vēlaties. Un es saprotu, ka tas arī lai paralēli arī lai pastiprinātu mīlestību, kas ir atšķirtībā. And as I understand, at the same time, by doing that, he increases this love in separation from him.
Krishna is making every arrangement so you can come back to him as soon as possible.
Krišna nodrošina visu nepieciešamo, lai jūs atgrieztos pie viņa, cik ātri vien iespējams.
He's doing everything from his side. Now you have to do your part.
Viņš ir izdarījis visu no savas puses. Tagad jums ir jāizdara sava daļa.
Krishna is trying to pull you out of this material existence. Now you have to really cooperate with him.
Krishna cenš jūs izvilkt no šīs materiālās eksistences.
Stop fighting Krishna.
Jāsadarbojas ar viņu.
You surrender to Krishna.
Pārstājiet cīnīties pret Krishnu. Nododieties Krishna. I have already done that.
I don't believe it.
Es esmu jau to izdarījis, uzticējis, agrāk es neticu.
Prove it.
Pierādiet to.
Prove it by your actions.
Pierādiet to savām darbībām.
Ja živu pa gulīvu.
Es dzīvoju saskaņā ar viņa gribu. I'm living according to his will.
How many rounds are you chanting every day?
Cik apres jūs skaitāt katru dienu?
How many rounds?
Sometimes 15, 16.
Every day 16 rounds?
Not every day. It depends.
Oh, all right. Well, then you need to get steady at 16 rounds and then talk about being surrendered to Krishna.
Tad jūs pirms nostiprināties uz 16 apriem un tad runājat par to, ka jūs esat uzticējis Krishna.
Next question.
Nākamais jautājums.
This is the last one. Richard.
Gurudev, скажите, пожалуйста, вот есть такое утверждение Шрилы Прабхупады, что через любовь к Господу мы можем полюбить всех. И также я слышал утверждение, что через любовь ко всем мы можем полюбить Господа. То есть как вот это правильно понять и как развивать любовь с нуля?
Es esmu dzirdējis divus apgalvojumus. Viens ir, ka caur mīlestību uz Dievu mēs varam iemīlēt citus. Otrs ir, ka caur mīlestību uz citiem mēs varam iemīlēt Dievu. Как нам развить что? Как бы концовка?
Вот как это понять?
Да. Как это сопрост?
Да, и как развивать любовь?
Сначала,
ну...
К чему все-таки сначала развивать, да? Аркотат сак, куратисты, аркотат сак, милостивый соответствующий. Dear Gurudev, I have heard two statements. One says that by loving God, through the love of God, you can develop the love to others. And the other statement says that you can develop the love to God by loving others.
So who said that? Who said develop love of God by loving others? Who said that?
В лекции Шрилы Прабхупады я слышал, что если, ну, можешь, если полюбишь Господа, то ты будешь любить всех.
Наоборот, Махарадж спрашивает, где вы слышали утверждение, наоборот?
Что если полюбишь всех, так говори, я слышал такое утверждение, что если ты не можешь полюбить, допустим, даже там ближнего, как ты можешь полюбить Бога?
I have heard the statement that if you can't love your close relative, how can you love God?
Who said it?
Я, честно говоря, сейчас точно источник не смогу сказать, но где-то на лекциях я слышал.
I don't remember.
It's hearsay. That's called hearsay. Hearsay evidence. Hearsay is not evidence. It's just hearsay.
Mother Teresa.
Mother Teresa
said that.
Mother Teresa said that. Yeah. It's hearsay. She's not an acharya. She is a pious lady, but she's not an acharya, a realized acharya. It is commonly said by pious people that by loving man you love God.
Dievbīgi cilvēki un jauki cilvēki bieži tā saka, ka mīlot apkārtējus, mīlot cilvēkus, jūs mīlēsiet Dievu.
In India they say, Manu Seva, Prabhu Seva. By serving man, you serve God.
India saka, kalpojot cilvēkiem, jūs kalpojat Dievam.
But I ask you, is that really true or not?
Es jums jautāju, vai tas patiešām tā ir?
God is compared to the belly.
Dievs ir salīdzināms ar vēdā.
And man is compared to the bodily parts.
Un cilvēks tiek salīdzināts ar ķermeņa daru.
So how do you nourish your bodily parts?
Un kā gan jūs varat pabarot savas ķermeņa daļas?
Do you lay down in a bathtub of dal?
Vai jūs, piemēram, lejat sev virsū dalu, nu, ēdienu?
Or do you put the dal in your stomach?
Vai arī jūs dalu novirzat savu kuņģi?
Your elbow needs nutrition, doesn't it?
Piemēram, jūs elkonim nepieciešami barošana.
Of course it does, to operate properly.
Protams, ka tam ir nepieciešami, lai darbotos pareizi.
So what do you do with the rice? Do you rub it on your elbow?
Ko jūs darat ar rīsi? Jūs iesmērīt viņu elkonī?
No, you feed it to your belly.
Nē, jūs to novirzat uz kuņģi, dodat kuņģim.
So the idea that by serving man you're serving God, that's incorrect. The other is correct. By serving God, who is like the belly, then all the bodily parts are nourished. What is their service to man? They feed them something. They give them some medicine. But they don't liberate them from birth and death. So what is the value of that so-called service? You're not actually freeing that person from misery. So their so-called love of man is simply extended sense gratification.
It's not
actual service. Because they're not reconnecting that jiva soul with his eternal identity as a servant of God.
Tā nav kalpošana, tāpēc, ka tās kalpošanas rezultātā jūs nepalīdzat dzīvai, dvēselē atgūt attiecības ar Dievu.
They're simply reinforcing that person's false bodily conception of his self.
Vienkārši tiek nostiprināta šī cilvēka ideja par to, ka šī ķermeniskā ideja.
Therefore they are atmaha, they are killer of the soul. They are not giving actual service to the soul. So it's not the same. Every devotee should understand this difference which Prabhupada explains again and again and again and again throughout all of his teachings.
Un katram baktam ir jāsaprot šī atšķirība, ko Prabhupāda visā savā mācībā atkal un atkal un atkal pasvītro.
Any devotee who wants diksha must clearly know this distinction.
Un ik viens bakta, kurš vēlas diksha,
otherwise they are not qualified for diksha.
Savādāk viņš nav kvalificēts saņemt diksha.
Okay, we'll stop here.
Mēs beigsim šeit.
Gan Raja Vidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
His grace, Srimad Sankarshan Dasati Kari Maharaj ki jai.
Hare Krishna.